In 1 Samuel chapter 3, young Samuel is called to be God's prophet in the land of Israel. We have noted in our study of this book how Samuel, as a boy in the temple, heard God's speaking voice in the night. The Lord appeared to him and spoke with him, and from that time, Samuel was called to serve God as his prophet in Israel. Now, after God called Samuel that marvelous night, and after Samuel confessed his willingness to serve the Lord by declaring, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth," he received a most shocking and solemn message from God. Indeed, such was the horrific nature of this first message that God gave to his young prophet, to Samuel. God said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." This was a really shocking message. This was a message of judgment, the most severe judgment that God gave to Samuel. And it was not judgment that would come upon Israel's enemies or the heathen, but it was judgment that would come upon the high priest and his house. That night God revealed to young Samuel how he would punish the sin of Eli's house in the most ruthless and shocking manner. This was the very first message that Samuel received from God as he took up the role of God's prophet in the land of Israel. However, Samuel receiving this shocking and solemn message from God was really only the first part of the work which he had to engage in as a prophet. In ancient times, the task or role of a prophet, it really involved two parts. They first of all had to obtain God's word. They had to spend time with God so that God would reveal to them his message for the people. The faithful prophet did not bring his own thoughts. He didn't bring his own opinions. He didn't bring his own ideas to the people. He did not proclaim the things he wanted them to hear. But rather he met with God and obtained the message of the Lord for the people. This was the first part of the work which the prophet of God engaged in, obtaining the word of the Lord for the people. But then the second part of the work of a prophet was to go and to stand before the people and declare to them that which God had made known. They had to deliver the message they had received, and they had to tell the people the things that God had spoken. This, of course, was the difficult part of the work of a prophet, to courageously and boldly stand before the people and declare, "Thus saith the Lord," and then give to them the word that God had spoken, no matter what that word is or was, no matter what the message was. They had to bring this message and stand before the people and with boldness and courage deliver that which they had been given. The prophet of God not only had to receive the word of the Lord, they had to also reveal the word of the Lord. As well as hearing God's word, they had to herald it forth to the people. Samuel had received God's word. The Lord had given to him a message for Eli's house. And now it was his solemn duty to proclaim this solemn message to Eli and to his family. This then is what we read of in the verses I want us to consider today. Verses 15 to 21. Here in 1 Samuel 3. We are told in these verses how Samuel, as God's young prophet in Israel, proclaims God's word to Eli. And this is what he does here. The subject that we're then considering today is Samuel proclaiming God's word. Samuel proclaiming God's word. As we think of how Samuel engaged in this second part of the work of a prophet, the work of declaring God's word, we are reminded in this passage of what a solemn responsibility rests upon the shoulders of every preacher. What a solemn responsibility rests upon the shoulders of every preacher. Just as it was the duty of the Old Testament prophet to boldly set forth God's word, to declare that which God had revealed, so it is the duty of every gospel preacher to do likewise, to open up the word of God, and to reveal to the people, to declare to the people that which God has said and that which God has revealed. Notice then with me a number of things in how Samuel, the young prophet in Israel, proclaimed God's word. The first thing I want us to notice in this passage is the fear of Samuel in proclaiming God's word. The fear of Samuel. And we read of this in verse 15. Notice again what it says there. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. After Samuel received this shocking message concerning God's judgment on the house of Eli, we are told here that he lay until the morning. He lay until the morning. Obviously, it was the case that Samuel could not sleep. His mind and heart were so filled with the thoughts of the terrible things that God had revealed to him. He had been reminded that God is holy and that he will not ignore sin and he will not turn a blind eye to sin. This is what Samuel had been reminded of here. God revealed to him the sin of Eli's house, and now he was going to deal with this sin. And so God had reminded young Samuel, I am a holy God, and I will not turn a blind eye to wickedness. I will not ignore sin. Now here is one thing that ought to cause all men and all women sleeplessness: the holiness and justice of the Lord. And how God is righteous, and in his righteousness, he will punish sin. This is the most dreadful thing of all. This is the most horrific thing of all. This is the most horrific message that any person could ever receive. God is holy. God will not ignore our sin. God will punish sin. And if there's one thing that ought to cause men and women in sin sleeplessness, it is this awful reality that God is holy. And he will not ignore your sin. He will not turn a blind eye to sin. Indeed, this truth ought to cause men to seek God's salvation. I want you to understand today, if you're still in your sin, and I want you to remind you once again that God is holy and God will punish your sin. And that should concern you. Here was Samuel, a believer. And as he was reminded of God's holiness, it caused him sleeplessness. It disturbed him. But Samuel's sleeplessness that night was not only caused by the very solid words he had just heard, it was also caused by the serious work he now had to engage in. He knew that as God's prophet, it was now his duty to declare to Eli the words which God had spoken to him. And this is why at the end of verse 15 we read, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. The word feared here means to dread, to dread. There was a sense of dread in Samuel's soul in having to bring such a message to God's servant Eli. This was something which filled him with fear to stand before the high priest and to bring this message of judgment. It caused him a sense of fear and dread in his soul. Now, why was Samuel fearful at this solemn task of proclaiming God's word? Why was this sense of dread in his soul? He knew that what he had was God's word. God had met with him and spoken to him. And so he could be absolutely confident that what he declared to Eli was the word of God. There was no doubt in Samuel's mind in regard to this. God himself had come to him and given to them this wonderful vision in the night. He had spoke to him. And so Samuel, with confidence, knew he had the word of God. Why then did we read? Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Why was he fearful, even though he had the word of God? Well, could I suggest that Samuel's fear at this time arose for two reasons? It arose for two reasons. Firstly, and primarily, I believe his fear was a fear of compassion. It was a fear of compassion. Samuel knew this message that God had given to him and that must now be proclaimed to Eli would hurt and bring great sadness to Eli. It would trouble Eli. It was his task to set before Eli the most terrible truth. He must speak to him about the sin of his house and about God's coming judgment upon him and his house for their sin. Now Samuel naturally would not have wanted to have hurt Eli. He would not have wanted to have caused him pain and sorrow and distress and grief. This is not what Samuel would have wanted to have done. Therefore, out of compassion for Eli, he feared Or he dreaded to bring him this most shocking message from God because of the awfulness of the truth that he had to proclaim. There was a sense of dread and fear in his soul. Out of compassion. Samuel's fear as God's prophet was a fear of compassion. Now here is something that every faithful preacher of the gospel can identify with. It is the desire of the preacher to see the people of God feeding upon the word, growing spiritually, and rejoicing in the Lord. This is the prayer of the pastor, speaking personally. This is why I pray for you every day. This is why I preach to you. This is why I labor and study and seek to minister to you. That you might rejoice in the Lord. That you might grow in grace. That you might advance in the things of Christ and of God. This is the desire and longing of the preacher. Seeing God's people grow and develop and progress and been filled with the joy of the Lord. Yet it is the duty of the preacher also to expose sin, to admonish waywardness, and condemn that which is wrong. This is also the solemn duty of the preacher to oppose that which is wicked and evil, and to highlight it, and to point it out. Therefore, there are times when the preacher must say things that will hurt, things that will offend people, and people will feel the cutting edge of the sword of truth. This is the task of the preacher. In many ways, there's a sense of dread here, because you should stand before the people. You know there are things that you will say, and issues that you will highlight, and problems that you will point out, and people will feel the piercing effect of God's word. Because he's highlighting their sin. Pointing out their ways of wickedness. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he wrote to a church that was filled with many, many problems. There were terrible infightings and disputes in that fellowship. Church in Corinth were filled with many problems. But this is what Paul said to them in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 4. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. Not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I had more abundantly unto you. Paul had to address the sinful issues in the church in Corinth. Therefore he had to speak words of rebuke. Words that would hurt and cause them sorrow. And Paul had to do this. This was his duty. But as Paul engaged in this work, this important work, he tells us here, he did it with great grief and with many tears of heart. It was not his desire to hurt. It was to heal. But he knew for the healing process to take place, he must cause this hurt. And he did it with a sense of grief and a sense of dread, even like young Samuel here. Knowing that as he proclaimed the word of God, God's word would offend. It would grieve. Samuel's fear then was a fear of compassion. He knew his words would be hard words for Eli to hear. And this is something that is true of every gospel preacher. They at times must speak words which will hurt and pierce the very people that they love and they care for. And so Samuel's fear was a fear of compassion. But then notice also here, Samuel's fear was a fear of criticism. A fear of criticism. Remember, Samuel at this stage was but a boy. In verse 8, in 1 Samuel 3, he is referred to as a child. A child. We don't know what age he was, but he was very young. It therefore would have been a very fearful and intimidating thing for young Samuel to bring to Eli. Think of this. Eli, the high priest, the man who held the highest office in the land. Young Samuel had to bring this man the message of condemnation which God had given to him. Samuel had no idea how Eli would react to God's word. How he would receive the message. Would he be angry? Would he attack Samuel? Would he accuse him of saying things that were not true? All of these things may well have been going around and round in Samuel's mind. A fear of criticism. A fear of how the message God had given to Samuel for Eli would be received. No doubt this was something that young Samuel was concerned about. There was a sense of dread here. He is this young boy, this young man, had to go before the high priest and tell him this message of judgment that God had given to him was coming to him and to his house. What an awful task. Dreadful task. Again, there is a fear that everyone, this is a fear that everyone who proclaims God's word must face. Preaching the word of God in this sinful world, the faithful preacher will face criticism. This will happen. There will be opposition. There will be hostility outside the church, but also inside the church. This will happen. When you preach the gospel, when you preach the word of God, there will be opposition. And there will be hostility. And we see this on numerous occasions in God's word. Time and time again in God's word, this is brought before us. Jeremiah 1 in the verses 6 to 8 we read, "Then said I," this is Jeremiah speaking, "then said I, Our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." We're told in these words of how Jeremiah, godly Jeremiah, Jeremiah who was filled with the Spirit of God from his mother's womb, was fearful as God sent him to declare his word. And remember who Jeremiah was speaking to here? The people of Judah. God's people. Those who profess God's name. And Jeremiah says, "Oh, I'm but a child, I can't do this." There's a sense of fear, you see, and dread because of the hostility and the opposition he would face. Read of the same in Moses' life. The great man of God, Moses. God met with him at the burning bush. And Moses, there was a sense of dread. "I cannot go. I'm not good at speaking." And he used every excuse in the book. Out of fear. Sense of dread. In this world of sin, the gospel preacher will face criticism. And of course, the servant is not above his master. Christ, the greatest preacher ever to preach, he faced criticism. What criticism he faced. In fact, they queued up. They queued up to ask him hard questions to try and entrap him. To try and catch him out. This was a man that spake as never other man spoke. A man who knew the truth and only ever spoke the truth. And yet he was not short of enemies because he was a preacher. Of course, not only will the gospel preacher face criticism when speaking forth God's word, but as the Christian witnesses for Christ, on a personal level, there is the fear of criticism to face. The fear of criticism. And this is a reality in our lives. And this is why many professing Christians fail to witness for Christ. They fear how they will be received. How their words will be accepted by those they witness to. Will they be attacked? Will they be criticized? Will they be laughed at? Will they be mocked? And there's this sense of fear of criticism. And we don't do what we ought to do, witness for Christ, because we fear how we'll be treated by others. And this is real. And this is a reality that not only the preacher must face, but even God's people as they seek to witness for Christ. As Samuel proclaimed God's word to Eli, there was a fear, a sense of dread in his heart and mind. And this is true of each one who engages in the work of speaking for God. This is a work that causes us naturally to be fearful and to be filled with dread. And so we have the fear of Samuel as he proclaimed God's word. But then the second thing I want to note today is the faithfulness of Samuel as he proclaimed God's word. And this is brought before us in verses 16 to 18. See what it says there. "Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Although young, Samuel was naturally fearful to bring such a message to Eli. Yet he proved himself faithful as he declared to Eli God's word. He proved himself faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in the verse 2, the gospel minister or the gospel preacher is referred to as a steward. As a steward. And we're told there, moreover, it is required in stewardship that a man be found faithful. It's required in stewardship that a man be found faithful. This is what the gospel preacher or minister must be. He must be faithful in declaring God's word. Faithful in bringing the truth of God before the people. No matter a man's ability or lack of it, he must endeavor with the help of God to faithfully declare God's word. This is the job of the preacher. To faithfully preach the word of the king. Paul, as he wrote to Timothy, reminded him of this in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. And this is what Paul said to Timothy. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now you notice Paul has given Timothy a charge here. He's emphasizing, this is important, Timothy. And then he says this, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. See what Paul was emphasizing. Timothy, this is your task as a gospel preacher. This comes before all else. You must preach the word. Rebuke, exhort, reprove with all long suffering and doctrine. This is the work of the gospel preacher. This is the work he's called to. Preaching the word. Speaking forth the truth. And this is what the gospel preacher must do. Let me say this. This is what a good gospel preacher is. A man who preaches the word faithfully. There are many people, and we're all the same, who have preferences when it comes to preachers. And we like that preacher, or we like that style of preaching. And there's this man, and he's so gifted, and oh, he's a wonderful preacher, and is great, and is good to listen to such preachers. But when I listen to someone who's preaching, on holidays or at other times, I'm only interested in one thing. Is this man faithfully declaring the word? His gifts and abilities, his talents are really irrelevant. What about them? Does he bring to me the word of God? Is he preaching the truth of the gospel to me? Is he preaching of Christ to me? That's what the faithful preacher does. No matter his abilities or talents. No matter his style. No matter about his qualities. The job of the preacher is to faithfully preach the word. What we see here with young Samuel is that he, from the very outset, and in very difficult circumstances, proved himself, even at this young age, to be God's faithful servant. Proved himself faithful. Now, as we think of Samuel's faithfulness in speaking forth God's word, we can say his faithfulness is really highlighted in two ways. In the first place, we see Samuel's faithfulness in that he declared the word of God fully. He declared the word of God fully. The opening words of verse 18 make this clear. And Samuel told him every whit. Samuel told him, that is Eli, every whit. The phrase every whit literally means all words. If the margin, you will see that. It means all words. Samuel brought all the words of God to Eli. He was faithful in proclaiming God's word. For he declared the word of God fully. The whole message, every part of it that God gave to Samuel, Samuel brought it to Eli. The faithful servant of God, the faithful preacher, will seek to declare all the truth revealed in Scripture. And this will be their desire. To bring all the truth. Bring all of God's word before the people. As the Apostle Paul spoke to the elders in the church at Ephesus, he said to them in Acts 20 verse 27, For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole, or I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. All the counsel of God. Paul didn't shun to do that. As a preacher, Paul proclaimed all of truth. He set forth that doctrine that was pleasing, spoke of God's love, spoke of God's grace, spoke of God's kindness, spoke of God's long suffering, and spoke of those things that are so pleasing and so good. Paul also set forth that doctrine that was painful. He spoke of God's justice, God's judgment. He spoke of God's wrath. He didn't shun to declare all the counsel of God. Faithfulness in preaching means we must declare the whole counsel of God. All of truth must be examined and set forth. And this is why I believe personally that systematically reading and preaching through the books of the Bible is so important. It's so important. When we do this, when we open a book and start at the beginning and go through the book, there's really nowhere to hide, you see. There's nowhere to hide here. We will come to each chapter, and we will come to each verse, and we will come to each line, and we will come to each word, and we will have to face that which God says in all of Scripture. We can't just go around cherry picking and we'll take this wee passage and we'll take that wee passage. No, when we go through a book systematically, we have to face it all. This is why I believe it is so important that we do this. Take time. Go through a book. And come face to face with all the counsel of God. Samuel was faithful because he declared the word of God fully. We also see here Samuel was faithful in that he declared the word of God forthrightly. Notice in verse 18 after we read, and Samuel told him every whit. It then says, and hid nothing from him. And hid nothing from him. These words indicate boldness and forthrightness. Samuel clearly and plainly revealed all the truth to Eli. He did not try to mince his words. He didn't try to sugarcoat the message God had given to him. No, he forthrightly and honestly set the truth before Eli and revealed God's word in an unmistakable way. He hid nothing from him. He caused him to understand. He caused him to know. He revealed the whole matter. There was a forthrightness here, a boldness. This is the task of a preacher. To boldly and unapologetically set forth God's word. To make the people know and understand. To speak forth the word of the King with boldness and forthrightness. As the Apostle Paul asked for God's people to pray for him, he told them to pray that he would have boldness to declare God's word. And this is what Paul asked for as a preacher. This is what he said in Ephesians 6 verse 19. And for me. Previous verse he was speaking of how they must pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. He speaks of them praying one for another, praying for themselves. And then he says this, and for me, when you pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now this is what Paul was asking God's people to pray for in relation to him, the great apostle. The great man of God, he recognized he needed forthrightness, he needed boldness, and he said, listen, pray this for me. Pray that God will give this to me, that I might be a faithful preacher. And this is what every single preacher needs. Let me say this to you as my congregation. This is what you need to be praying for me. That God will give me boldness, forthrightness, courage, wisdom, skill, power that goes beyond the abilities that I have to do what? To speak the word with boldness to you. To bring God's word to you in a manner that will be clearly revealed to your heart and to your mind. Bring God's word plainly and powerfully. This is what every single gospel preacher needs. Boldness. Not speaking about his own temperament, her own personality. That's nothing to do with it. It's a boldness that comes from God. An anointing to preach the word with power. The great English preacher, William Gurnall, put it like this. A minister without boldness is like a smooth file. A knife without an edge. The sentinel that is afraid to let off his gun. If men will be bold in sin, ministers must be bold to reprove. This is why the preacher of the gospel needs the infilling of God's Spirit, that they might have boldness to speak forth the word of God. If you read the opening chapters in the book of Acts, where God's Spirit was poured out upon the church, you will read time and time and time and time again of how they spoke the word with boldness. With boldness. This is what the preacher needs. This was what Samuel had. He had the infilling of God's Spirit as he spoke to Eli and he revealed the whole truth with forthrightness, with boldness. Samuel proclaimed God's word faithfully. Because he declared the message God gave him fully and with forthrightness. And this is the great challenge, the awesome challenge for every gospel preacher. And so we have here the fear as Samuel proclaimed God's word, the faithfulness as Samuel proclaimed God's word. The final thing I want to note today is the fruit as Samuel proclaimed God's word. And this is brought before us in verses 19 to 21 here. Notice what it says. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. These words reveal to us how Samuel was a man that knew God's blessing in his own life. In a most unique way. How he knew God's blessing in a most marvelous way. He grew. And the Lord was with him. He knew God's presence. It says also that the Lord did let none of his words fall to the ground. Every single word that Samuel prophesied came to pass. It came true. Every single message that he brought to those people, he prophesied of that would come yet, it came to pass. Nothing fell to the ground. And everyone recognized that Samuel was God's prophet in Israel. And verse 21 tells us the Lord appeared to him. And the Lord spoke to him. He was a man in communion with God, fellowshipping with God. God giving him message after message after message that I may preach before the people. These words revealed to us Samuel truly was a most unique man of God. And as we examine Scripture, we can say Samuel was one of the greatest prophets that ever proclaimed God's word in the nation of Israel. He was one of God's greatest ever prophets. One of the greatest preachers that God ever commissioned. We know this because in Jeremiah 15 verse 1 we read, "Then said the Lord unto me," again the Lord speaking to Jeremiah, "though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth." God here was speaking to Jeremiah of how his judgment was coming. And how his judgment was coming upon Israel. But notice how the Lord speaks of two great prophets. And he says, if these two great prophets were to stand before me and to pray for the people of Israel, I still wouldn't listen to them. My judgment would still come. And these two prophets were Moses and Samuel. Now, by selecting these two prophets, is the Lord not revealing to us that these were his two great champions for truth, his two great preachers, his two great prophets in Israel? And he was saying to the people, he was saying to Jeremiah, listen, if my two greatest servants stood before me, I still wouldn't hear. They wouldn't turn away my wrath. And so, we can deduce from Scripture, clearly, that Samuel was one of God's greatest prophets in Israel. The greatest prophets that God ever had. Someone who was of the ilk of Moses. However, as we think of how Samuel was one of God's greatest prophets in Israel, we also need to consider the fruit of his ministry. The fruit of his ministry. You see, from a human perspective, his ministry seemed to bear very little fruit. Even though he was a man that faithfully preached God's word, and a man that knew God's presence in his life in a most unique way, yet we don't read of any great spiritual change or revival in Israel in his days. We don't read about this in the days of Samuel. And we will see this as we go through this book. We don't read about spiritual change. We don't read about a turning to God at this time. We don't read about Israel humbling themselves and turning with all their hearts and serving the Lord. In fact, in the end, the people of Israel wouldn't listen to Samuel. Remember how they desired a king to rule over them? And Samuel told them, this is not God's will for them. The Lord is your king. And he brought the word before them. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. In many ways, the nation turned against Samuel. It wouldn't hear. Now, as we think of the fruit of Samuel's ministry, we are reminded once again that faithfulness does not always produce great fruitfulness. Faithfulness does not always produce great fruitfulness. There are many examples of this in the Word of God. Think of Noah. The Bible describes Noah as a preacher of righteousness. We don't know how long he preached. Some people believe he preached 120 years. But only his family were converted. Only his family were saved. Think of Jeremiah. A man filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Great servant of God. And yet very few of any were converted under his ministry. Indeed, as we examine the Old Testament prophets, you will discover that the vast majority of them were rejected. They were rejected by the people. Think of Christ himself, greatest preacher of all. Isaiah 53 verse 3 tells us he was despised and rejected of man. Despised and rejected of man. Now after his ministry was concluded on earth, the greatest preacher of all, the church consisted of a mere 120 people. Acts 1 and 15 reveals this to us. Imagine that. After Christ's ministry on earth was finished, after his preaching was finished and over, the church consisted of only 120 people. The life of the prophet Samuel does teach us that the task of the preacher in this world is not to be successful in the way the world counts success, popularity, and numbers. This is how the world evaluates people. This is how the world evaluates a preacher in their popularity. And in the numbers that they have. But this is not the job of the preacher. To be successful in this way, his job is to preach the word and to honor the Lord, like Samuel did. Leave the rest to Christ. Leave the rest to him. The fruit of Samuel proclaimed God's word was very lean as far as men are concerned. But he fulfilled his calling. He was faithful to his God. And he brought great honor to the Lord. And this, of course, is the task of every Christian as well. This is the task of every Christian in this world. God has called us into this world that we might serve him now in the place that he has placed us. And just simply to honor him day by day in our lives. By simply living for God and doing our duty. This is the work that God has called us to. Not only the work of the preacher, but this is the work of every Christian. Samuel reminds us of this. He was the great servant of God. But even though he seen no fruit or very little fruit in his time, he continued faithful. Continued faithful. And this is our function, this is our job in this world, even to follow in the example of this great man of God. Samuel the prophet, his fear in proclaiming God's word, his faithfulness and his fruit. I trust God will bless his word to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen and amen. Let's just close our time in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word today. And we pray, O God, that we would be helped and strengthened through your word. That, O Lord, we would be those that would seek more and more to live according to your truth. We recognize, O Lord, that you have even given men to minister to your people. We think even of how it speaks in the New Testament, of how you give some preachers and some evangelists and some ministers and pastors. And Lord, we pray that even as you've blessed the church with such people, oh God, we would in our lives be those that hear your word clearly. And oh God, that you will help us even to minister your word. We feel our weakness in this sense, but bless us even as thy servant and bless this congregation and help us to live for thee in these days. Lord, hear our prayers. Be with those that will leave us now. Remember us around your table. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.